You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Russell Maltz. Russell, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Hello. I'm happy to be here with you.
Russell, you're in New York City now. You've been there for decades. I'd like to just ask you, since you've seen New York go through a lot of changes in all your time in Soho, really, how was the last year? We're coming up on a year in the pandemic as we talk on this day in March 10th, 2021. How was the last year? What was that for you? How did New York look to you? And also, how was your studio practice in the last year? How did that affect it?
Very interesting question. When I moved here in 1978, there really wasn't anybody down here. And that's the way it felt soon after the pandemic started, when everything got closed down. You'd walk out of the house and there'd be nobody on the street. And I had a deja vu from 1978. And I actually made some photographs of the street and compared it to the original photographs that I took when I moved here back in the late 70s. The studio practice has been actually better during this pandemic time. I felt myself being drawn into the studio and reading more, drawing more. It just seemed that with a lot of other things, unfortunately, in terms of the socialization aspect of you know, being an artist and being with friends and visiting other people's studios and seeing people at openings, that all, you know, as we all know, went away for a while, and it recently opened up and is gaining speed again. But I found myself being in the studio and actually relaxing, and the work that I was doing before transformed into more of a studio practice, because I do a lot of my work outside the studio as well as in the studio. And so it was a very interesting and actually very rewarding experience for me this year. Yeah, it's been very good.
So let's get into that. I want to first just ask you about the photos you mentioned, which was a kind of before and after from 1978 and then 2020. How did that compare? I mean, I was just looking at a whole bunch of images in the Times of New York during the pandemic, and there was all these pictures of kind of desolation. How did that compare, 1978 to 2021, and the images you took for 2020?
Well, a couple of different things happened on the block. I live on the north end of Crosby Street, very close to Houston, next to the Housing Works building. And the original photograph that I took was just south of Prince Street looking north. And at that time, Crosby Street was all cobblestones, and it still is. In fact, they recently redid the cobblestones 5 years ago. And so the only difference in the photograph was on the corner of Prince and Crosby, on the southeast corner, there used to be a little luncheonette called Crosby Lunch. And it was a truck stop. People would, you know, coming across. It would open at 5 o'clock in the morning and close at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can get breakfast for $1.75 there with coffee. That changed into the Savoy, and now it was a Savoy restaurant for a while. And then it became another restaurant called Big, and that closed down. Everything was boarded up. So, you know, for the most part, Brainerd, it pretty much looked the same, and it was kind of exciting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, New York has, you know, I drive down Avenue B quite a bit, to have some meetings down there, and, you know, New York seems, you know, it's not only quieter, but, you know, in Avenue B, they've, I don't know if the police have erected all these barricades, but it's as though some of the streets are returning to the community. You can't get through Avenue B very easily with a car. You have to, you know, go around all these things. It makes you, like, move at a snail's pace. And it seems that in some way the city's being reclaimed by pedestrians a little bit.
It's becoming a bit more of a village. And it's a good feeling. I mean, in the early days of Soho, when there were only artists here, artists and small manufacturers and there were a lot of fabric wholesalers here and warehousing. You didn't see many people except for people working on the street during the day loading trucks and doing their work, and at night there was really nobody around at all. And a few places to go to, like Finelli's Bar or Puffy's Bar further down in Tribeca, to meet people and hang out, or Max's. So, in those days, it felt more like a village amongst artists. Not many artists live here anymore, as compared to what used to be. But even with the people that are here now, we all knew that when whoever we saw on the street in those days were people who actually live here. and that was a good feeling.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about what you're working on. What's the work that you've been involved in the last year?
Well, in the last year, I've been working on continuing a couple of series of pieces that I've been previously working on before the pandemic happened. And so I'm working on a series of installation works involving glass and wood, as well as some individual works, which are stacked glass on shelves, glass that have drilled holes through and that are suspended from the wall. Still doing my exploration of expanding the painting language and painting vocabulary, and not in terms of the approach to the painting, the space around the painting, and how someone really actually perceives and asks questions about painting. And I've been doing a lot of drawing about that, a lot of quick ink and brush drawings in the studio, charcoal and varnish together, using layering drawings, moving into areas of collaging various papers together after they've been sitting around for weeks or months. And knowing that nothing's going to get shown and there are no shows scheduled, because I had one show in Europe that was canceled, and because of the pandemic, any possibility of showing some more work here is now prolonged. And the day of the show, the day of the lockdown, I had been involved in an exhibition at PS 122, which was called Authorship, 30 Days in March, and it was about people coming together and collaborating in a space with each other's work. So I was on that.
This was a group show, Authorship.
Group show, yeah. Yeah, it was a group show, and the idea about like working with other people was very exciting, and all of a sudden we couldn't do that. But I tried to continue that energy in the studio by being as open as possible with the work that could be happening, as opposed to what I was doing before. So that was a good change for me. Yeah.
Hmm. And so let's talk about some of the work that preceded that. So then what were you making that year? I mean, you went through some of it, but you're working in different mediums. You're painting, you're sculpting, you work in installation. So to kind of maybe get involved in one of those, maybe we could talk sculptural aspects first. You're talking about stacking glass and tell me a little bit more about that. We'll have images of that in here in your website so people can look through this, but tell me about the sculpture you were working on, and then we'll talk about painting.
Well, I don't actually make a decision about what is painting and what is sculpture. I kind of just make work. A lot of it is painted, and it happens to be three-dimensional, and I guess you can refer to that as kind of sculptural, right? Because most of the language is about what a painting could be. So right. I'm working on some security wire glass pieces right now, and I've been developing them throughout the last year. And there are these long, thin pieces of glass that are about 3 inches wide and They're about 84 inches high, and there are holes drilled in them so they can be suspended off the wall one after the other like a layer from a galvanized nail or a galvanized post bracket. And they float in the wall, in front of the wall, and they're usually glazed with one color or two colors in a polyurethane suspended viscous solution with the pigment in it. And I build the color from the back of the painting to the front of the painting with single strokes of moving up and down the glass with a brush that's full of the material, full of the paint. And I call this series the needle series because they're very thin. And as you walk from left to right around the piece, the piece kind of, because it's so thin and narrow, it reveals itself as you walk from left to right and right to left. And then if you pause and stand in front of it, you'll get the frontal feeling of what a painting is. But as you walk to the side, take a few steps to the side and look three quarters, it's still a painting, but all of a sudden it's sculptural because the light starts to play on the edges of the glass and the light gets trapped inside the space between the layers of glass. And there's also reflections and shadows on the wall based on the lighting that's used. So I've been very interested in all these elements, which is all about painting and light, and trying to work with these with the different materials. And the glass for me has been something I've been working with since the early 80s and developing it in sheets, on the floor, leaning against the wall. And as early as, I guess, the late 80s, I started drilling holes through the glass to suspend it, because every time I was leaning the glass against the wall, I sometimes felt it was too restrictive, and I wanted the glass to float out into space a little bit, into the room, but still retain a structure. And so that was the basic idea, you know, that I've been working with again, and I continue to work with it. So, and it was a little quieter over the last year, so I took more time, and I was very happy about it. So. Yeah.
So you've used the word sculpture and painting in your description of it, but I understand what you're saying, that you don't want to be defined in either of those categories. So when you're talking about surfaces and sculpture, do you see this all as just you're just making art, or you see it as a kind of evolved painting? Because I would imagine that even in galleries, they tend to, unfortunately, put you in a box, right? Is this a painting? Is it a sculpture? Is it an installation? Is it something else? Is it mixed media? But it sounds like you're looking at these as a kind of comment on painting itself, a kind of expanded painting, or no?
Yes, it could be. It can be an expanded painting. I think it leans more towards being an expanded painting than it does being a sculpture. That's where more of the emphasis lies. But I still think of it as an artwork, and I don't define it as either, because the idea that it asks those questions is more important to me than having it being defined. You know, the idea of it, of the piece talking back and asking those kinds of questions, kind of makes me feel that, okay, there's a dialogue happening here, and the piece is alive, and we can talk about, is it a painting? Is it a sculpture? And, you know, if painting can actually be elevated to the point where it can just be called an artwork and not a painting, that's, I think, interesting as well.
And can it be? I mean, that's interesting, because I'm sitting here talking to you about, you know, kind of unfortunately trying to, like, box you into this, you know, is it a kind of, you know, a type of painting? But that's actually what you're pushing back against, right? And trying to boundaries or definitions, or people saying, what is it? Yeah. So how has that evolved over the years? Has your audience changed? Have they evolved so that they do see it more as an artwork and not as a painting or a sculpture? Or is that still this kind of perennial question?
I think that it's sort of like an individual thing. I think after having conversations with people, friends and others that come to the studio, it's kind of like a little bit of a revelation that we could talk in those terms, and it's kind of satisfying to talk in those terms as opposed to saying, oh, well, this is a painting, and oh, that must be a sculpture, and it's too defined, because a lot of the work that I do is so involved with the process of the making of the work, and that process informing how the work actually looks like and what it feels like, that it's, to call it an abstract painting, maybe it's more of a point of calling it an abstraction or an abstract idea that could be a painting. But, you know, those kinds of thoughts are all the thoughts that are going on within me as I'm making the work, and I'm challenging myself about as I make the work. When it comes into the world and goes onto the wall and people look at it, they only have their own personal references of what they would define it as. And then if I'm there to speak about it in the studio or at a exhibition, then those kinds of thoughts, you know, and discussions evolve into a dialogue about the elements of what the piece is.
And so the dialogue, the conversation that's being generated by your work, it's, yes, we're talking about form, we're talking about, you know, light,
yes,
and space, not so much,
yes,
a narrative or a message.
Correct.
And
correct.
Has that, your materials have changed over time, though. So
yeah,
do the materials themselves?
The materials are, is the materials are all about pushing the idea of how color can live in the world in an artwork. So if it's a series of cinder blocks that are piled against the side of a road in front of a construction site, there's a few other things going on there, but the first thing that you see and the first thing that you are confronted with, which is a material that may not be used in sculpture, except that Solowit used it all the time, and I use it by painting on it and transforming the surface and the essence of the material into something that could be recognized as a piece of art. Okay. Same thing in terms of using glass. There's a whole idea, which is a different avenue, of using pigment on glass and actually making a piece that has the ability to provide this transparent quality where you can actually see through layer after layer of material and paint on both sides of the material and offer these various relationships where light gets trapped and light gets absorbed. And this is all about the essence of painting, and yet it becomes a very physical object. Yet as I'm working on it, I try to stay away from the objectiveness of it so I can present the concept of it. And it's because I see my works as the result of a process, not so much as making an object. A lot of times we don't have control over that because it is an object, it is in the world, and you can look at it just like a painting if you want to call a painting an object.
Right.
But it's not the essence of the reason why the piece is made.
That's interesting. And so what's happening with the next exhibition? Do you have one planned or because it sounds like that's been kind of, you know, derailed in many ways for the new year.
We're waiting to see what happens in Europe right now. There might be something happening there. They've got to sort it out. And people, you know, it's interesting because on the other side of the coin, a lot of the, you know, gallery spaces and exhibition spaces are trying to figure out what to do themselves, right? I mean, I'll see a few more of the galleries on the Lower East Side have opened up, and I know that Chelsea's been open and museums have been open. And I've been to a few of the venues around, and I'm not so comfortable yet walking in seeing a show unless it's on a Sunday morning and I'm the first person in in the space. So, you know, I think it's going to take a little while longer. So I've started working with some of my ideas through Instagram, doing an Instagram project and posting photographs of relative material that inspires me in terms of my work.
Instagram. When you talk about Instagram like that, you're essentially having a kind of exhibition on Instagram where it's a way for your work to reach the public during this time when shows are, as you're saying, kind of in the in-between place. It's a public project, essentially.
Well, yeah, it's my own way of staying in touch with my friends. And I mean, I never used Instagram until the pandemic started. Right. I was very happy just making my work and documenting it and photographing my source material as I walk around the city or whatever, or wherever I am. And I have an archive of that. And then, a few friends said, "Hey, you know, you should start Instagram. You should do it because people would probably want to see what you're doing." And I got some help, and we started opened up an account, and I started using it, and I kind of like it.
And so are you documenting work with it, or are you doing something else?
Yes, both. I'm documenting work from the studio that I've been making over this year and posting it. I've also have been posting works that I've been doing over the past years in archive, and important works that I think would be informative for people to see and friends to see. And I also have a project which is called FS, capital F, capital S, dash, and a location, and it stands for found site. And so if I see something on the street that is there and not done by me, but it informs the work in the studio, I photograph it. I lay claim to that essence in the photograph, and I post it.
I love that. That's great.
And it could be something as easy as, you know, when everybody was boarding up all the stores and they had stacks of plywood leaning against the buildings. I make a photograph of a stack of plywood. That's the result of an energy that I'm very familiar with of stacking my own work against the wall. So trying to capture those essences for me are very important in my work. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So of course there'll be links to this so people can learn more about that. And I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
Okay. What I'm reading at the moment that I'm almost done with, which I really enjoy, is John Meacham's book on John Lewis. It's called His Truth is Marching On, John Lewis and the Power of Hope. It's an excellent book talking about the life of John Lewis. And the next one, which I just got yesterday, is Clara and the Sun, which is a new novel by Ishiguro.
Russell, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. I wish you well with your upcoming projects.
Thank you very much, Brainerd.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.